Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome in. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Charlie Usen over there. Still to come, we'll talk with Joe Stadler, Executive Director of Wisconsin PGA, coming up at the top of the next hour. We'll get into some Masters conversations with him coming up at 3 o'clock. A Masters golf tournament is going to be something, I have a feeling, coming up this year. We just had on Sportsbook Manager yesterday from Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Talked to him about it yesterday in the last hour. Joining us now, he is the Milwaukee Brewers Assistant General Manager, Matt Klein. Matt, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Sparky. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. So we all have questions, right? It's not just me. I think everybody has questions about this whole thing with the last couple of moves you guys have made. So first, let's start off talking about the Quinn Priester move, because that came first, obviously, yesterday, getting him in that trade for Yoelfrey Rodriguez, a competitive balance round A pick in 25, and a player to be named later. I see this all the time in sports, especially, like, say, in basketball and even in football to a certain degree, where, you know, you have a front office that falls in love with somebody coming out of the draft. They're not in a position to draft that guy. And then years later, when he becomes available, they think they can fix him when the other organization couldn't. So they roll the dice and see if they were right or wrong, because they always liked him. Is that essentially where we're at with Quinn Priester and the Brewers?
I think that actually sells Quinn a little short, to be honest with you. I don't think this is a situation where we feel like we have to really make fundamental fixes or fundamental changes here. This is a young, quality starting pitcher who's already on an upward trajectory. And of course, you know, as with every player, we have some ideas of what we can do to help him continue that trajectory and that upward trajectory. But this certainly isn't a situation where we feel like, you know, there's something broke that we have to fix.
Okay, when we look at his pitch mix last year, I mean, he was throwing the sinker and slider the most. That four seam was only 14% of the time, the changeup 13% of the time, and now that cutter was like 1% of the time. I had been reading that he had worked on that in the offseason, and that was being more effective for him in the spring. Do you see or envision that pitch mix changing with Chris Hook and the Brewers?
I think you have to look at it one step further than that, and not just look at necessarily aggregate pitch mix. I mean, look, versus right, you know, he is primarily sinker slider. He's been effective with that approach. And then versus left, he mixes in his four-seam curveball change a little bit more. You know, so time will tell, you know, whether we make certain tweaks to that and then whether Chris and Jim downstairs want to alter that at all. But we certainly are excited about the pitch mix that he brings and what he can do for us.
As far as velocity goes, I had read that they wanted him to increase velocity. And for the one game I saw early in spring, he had thrown 96, 9 out of 10 of his fastballs. The other one's like 97. How much of an increased velocity does he have since last year? And is it sustainable throughout the season, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, velo is king. We know that when it comes to pitching, the number one metric that correlates performance is velo. So, yes, we're very aware that his velo is trending upwards. Whether he can sustain that, I mean, look, he certainly has the physical attributes to do that. And we're going to do everything we can behind the scenes to help him sustain that throughout a whole season.
Talking with Matt Klein, Milwaukee Brewers Assistant General Manager here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. The other thing about Quinn Priester plays right into what you guys like, which is you have him for not just this year. You have him for how many more years? You have him for some time, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is a pitcher who we have 6 years of control over. You know, anyone who pays attention to Major League Baseball can tell you that starting pitchers are expensive. That is even more true with young, quality starting pitchers who have a tail of control like Quinn does. So, yeah, we're very excited. I mean, this is a move and an individual who helps us not just in the immediate future, but also several years down the road.
Now, I'm going to talk to you from a fan perspective because that's all I know. I've never worked in a front office like you. So, from a fan perspective, you give up a top outfield prospect in Rodriguez, a competitive balance pick, which is essentially a late first, right, early second, because it's that sandwich pick between one and two, and a player to be named later. So, regardless of how this all works out, you're essentially giving up three players for one at the end of the day. And yesterday, we were talking on the show as far as, okay, so what are we looking at here as far as ceiling? What is he kind of at the end of the day, Priester? And in my mind, if you're giving up three guys, I mean, he kind of has to end up being a top three guy in the rotation for this to be successful at the end of the day. How do you guys view success on if this works or doesn't work?
That's a great question. I mean, look, first and foremost, there will always be a cost and sometimes a high cost to go out and acquire quality players. We touched on this a little earlier, but this is especially true when those quality players, like a Quinn Priester, have a long tail of control attached to them. You know, to the second part of your question, like, what is the ceiling here? We don't want to put limits on anybody. You know, this is a guy who's he showed up. He's going to be with our major league team starting today. He's going to be making starts for us at the big league level. So success for us is just let's go out, let's see how this plays out, both in the short term and the long term. Let's put Quinn in a position to succeed. Let's arm him with the information, surround him with great people, great teammates. And I mean, look, we have high expectations of what this could end up being.
Is he going to start in Colorado?
Yes, he is.
He's joining
the team today, and he'll be starting later in the series.
But, man, why would you do that to the poor kid? Why start him in Colorado for his first start in a Brewers uniform? Do you not like him, Matt Klein?
That's a great question. Sorry. Look, we always want to put players in a position to succeed. I mean, I think even Quinn would tell you, you know, starting in Colorado is better than being in AAA somewhere.
Sure, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure he will happily take the start in Colorado.
Okay, so let's talk about value of these competitive balance picks that you gave one away on. Now, you still have another one, so it's not like they're both gone. But me reading, because I'm trying to educate myself, it seems like the value of the dollar amount attached to that pick is maybe more valuable than the pick itself as far as what you can do signability-wise when you're a team acquiring that pick. So how do you determine what you give up when it comes to doing this trade? Is it about the money or is it about the pick?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. It's anytime you can aggregate additional draft picks, it certainly gives you more flexibility to operate within the draft itself. But, you know, I mean, there's certainly a great deal of value on whichever player that you can select, but also value in having that flexibility to use that money either on that pick specifically or to allocate it across multiple other picks.
So for you guys, when you are negotiating this deal, are you trying your hardest to not move that pick, that competitive balance pick, if at all possible, unless you absolutely have to, or how valuable is it to you? Because if we look from an NFL perspective, the Packers, you know, hate trading, you know, first round picks or two or three picks in order to move up or something like that. They treat it like gold. How do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody likes to trade away draft picks, especially draft picks at this level and at that place in the draft. But it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's like, if you want to have a realistic opportunity to acquire young, quality players, you're going to have to give up something, and it's going to hurt a little bit, whether now or in the future. You know, and so in this case, it was just the price of doing business. So, of course, you know, nobody wants to deal away draft picks, but that was just the cost that was required in this particular instance.
Talking with Matt Klein, Milwaukee Brewers assistant general manager, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Yofre Rodriguez, a guy that you signed internationally, spent a lot of money on. He was the number one spended player that you got that offseason a couple years ago. It feels like to me, tell me if you agree or disagree, it feels like you guys are making more hay with that international market as far as potential prospects and stars and so forth, maybe then even so than you are with the draft at this point.
You know, I think we would tell you that we're having success in both areas, and we have a tremendous scouting group, both internationally and domestically. Those guys do a tremendous job of pumping talent into the organization. You know, and without those individuals and without the output that we have seen from the scouting group, our organization would not be where it is right now. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that one side or the other inherently does a better job. I think we would tell you that across the board, our scouting groups are doing a tremendous job for this organization.
All right, let's talk about the other trade that you guys made. This one happened after I was off the air yesterday. And this actually, I think, is a win-win situation. Again, outside looking in at this deal, you guys get Daz Cameron in exchange for Grant Wolfram, who you were designated for assignment anyhow. So you got a player back, essentially, instead of getting nothing back. And it is Mike Cameron's son, obviously, who played for the Brewers. So what's your evaluation on Daz Cameron?
Yeah, great question. I mean, Daz provides us a layer of outfield depth. He's going to report to Nashville. He comes with pedigree. He's performed both in the minor leagues and at the big league level, and he's going to have opportunity in front of him. I mean, obviously, our major league outfield group is extremely accomplished, extremely talented, but, you know, you're always one injury away from needing that next man up, and so Daz will provide a very important layer of depth for us from Nashville.
The starting pitching situation, you literally have one guy in your rotation that you thought was going to be in your rotation, and everybody else either getting stretched out in Katana State, coming back Friday, it looks like, and then others are hurt. We keep talking about it on our show, like how long before this eventually catches up. And I don't know how much y'all paid Chris Hook, but it wasn't enough, because if you get through all of this and these guys start coming back and you're still, you know, within shouting distance of first place, would be a major accomplishment, plugging and playing guys in and doing their thing, which leads me to Chad Patrick. And people forget, you got this dude for Abraham Toro. With all due respect to Abraham Toro, if this guy's a rotation piece, that's a steal of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is our job to build as much depth as we can. I mean, I've said this before, but this is, you know, primarily why we work all off season, right? It's to bring in as many talented players as we possibly can for when you have situations like this. You know, nobody expected that we would have, you know, one to two full starting rotations on the IL right now. But we have weathered the storm in the past. We will continue to weather it now. And to your point, yes, we have tremendous coaches, you know, who take the players that we're able to acquire and help arm them with information and help transform those players into the best versions of themselves. You know, it takes a lot of contributions from whether it's the coaches downstairs, the analysts up here, the scouts out on the field. When you have those groups all working together, you can get through anything.
Do we feel confident in saying that Cortez and Tobias Myers are back by the end of the month?
We don't know yet. I mean, that's the honest answer. I mean, I think Tobias will probably be a little quicker than Nestor. I mean, Tobias, he'll start his rehab assignment tonight, so that will give you some indication of where he's at. And then Nestor, we're still in wait-and-see mode. I mean, look, we just put him on the IL the other day. We need to evaluate, you know, his status over the next few days and maybe even the next few weeks, but it's just too early to tell.
Last one, Woodruff, still feeling like May?
No, I mean, look, Brandon's he's on the right path. He is working his way back. Shoulders are certainly tricky, but he's checking all the boxes. He's on the right path, and I expect and we expect that he's going to be contributing to this team sooner rather than later.
Yes to both of those questions would have made me happier, just in case you were wondering for next time.
Matt Klein. We can't get it too definitive answer.
Matt Klein, Milwaukee Brewers assistant GM, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Matt, thanks so much for coming on and taking my abuse. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.